I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Sally Bosman. In the headlines, World Bank suggests more public discourse on $3 billion loan facility from China. Endowment fund for Tema General Hospital launched. Ghanaian universities said to be churning out graduates not fit for the job market. Accra High Court to rule on Wednesday on whether or not government should reduce petroleum prices. Ennahda claims victory in Tunisia's General Assembly election. 22-year-old man charged for exposing himself as Queen Elizabeth toward Australia, and Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia to be buried today.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
The World Bank has urged Ghanaians to expand public discussions on the loan facility from China. They are to focus more on interrogating the efficient use of the funds and the nature and scope of the project selected in order to achieve the desired national development results. Speaking at a public forum in Accra on the loan organized by the Dankwa Institute, the resident chief economist of the World Bank, Sebastian Desses, called for the assessment of infrastructural projects to ensure that Ghana consistently gets value for money. He said such investment should not disturb future national budgets and the country's ability to pay off its debts. We bring you a news desk report.
The resident chief economist of the World Bank, Sebastian Desus, said there's no doubt that the $3 billion Chinese loan presents both immense opportunities and challenges, and it is thus expected that political parties and observers must have different views on it. He called for the debate to move on from merely evaluating the terms and conditions of the loan agreement to the quality of projects that the funds would be used on and the control of citizens and parliament on such major public expenditures. To emphasize the need for proper evaluation of the projects that the multi-billion dollar commercial loan facility is meant to finance, the World Bank expressed concern over the usual waste in public investment, citing as evidence the perennial issue of unfinished or poorly maintained roads in Ghana. The executive director of the Dankwa Institute, Asario Chidaku, disclosed that over $4 billion of investment funds available to Ghana from a development fund, including some $2 billion from the World Bank and African Development Bank, are just sitting there waiting to be assessed and utilized by the Ghana government. The head of the policy think tank, which organized a public forum, that the obvious weaknesses in institutional capacity to make use of such relatively cheap credit facilities, including soft loans and grants, make it even more worrying when no clear implementation rollout plans have been made available on how government intends to manage the various public investment programs outlined in the $3 billion loan. For his part, the World Bank economist made it clear that it is certainly not the role of the World Bank to decide or state whether such borrowing plans are adequate, while welcoming the quality and usefulness of the current debate on the $3 billion loan.
A news desk report. A national policy on climate change is in the offing. The policy, which is in its final stages of completion, seeks to respond effectively to issues of climate change and carbon emissions. It covers a broad spectrum of institutions, including faith-based institutions and civil society groups. A deputy director in charge of climate change at the Ministry of Environment, Science and Technology, Peter Derry, announced this at the opening of the National Conference on Climate Change for Religious Bodies. He said the move had become necessary because the country cannot win the fight against climate change without a concrete national policy on how climate change should be incorporated into the broad national development agenda. Here's a report by Yaya Kwamwa.
The objective of the program is to actively involve religious bodies to help stem the tide of climate change. The Deputy Director in charge of climate change at the Ministry of Environment, Science and Technology, Peter Derry, said the ministry is desirous to respond to the emerging trends of global warming and how Ghana could better contribute to the reduction of climate change. He said Ghana has consistently ensured that it has adequate representation in international conferences on climate change to keep abreast of developments in global and regional deliberations on climate response measures.
This country has a strong commitment to assist in building capacity not only for adaptation but also for mitigation. A vibrant multisectoral National Climate Change Committee has therefore been constituted and tasked with an overarching responsibility of developing a national policy on climate change, which the ministry is satisfied to report is at its final stages of completion. A clean development mechanism secretary has also been established to respond to the opportunities offered by the carbon trading market, and in particular to the CDM as a financial mechanism.
The moderator of the General Assembly of the EP Church, Rice Reverend Francis Amenu, called on government to engage religious bodies in all activities that are meant to build capacities of stakeholders in the fight against climate change. The National Coordinator of the Religious Bodies on Climate Change, Charles Agbukulu, said the aim of the network is to build the capacity of their members to help educate the public on the effects of climate change. Participants from the Muslim community, Christian denominations and civil society groups gave their solidarity messages.
A report by Yahya Kwamwa. The compulsory arbitration between the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission and the Ghana Medical Association has been rescheduled for Wednesday. The Public Relations Officer of the Labour Commission, Mohamed Afum, explained that the ground rules have been laid before all parties involved in the process. Other details of the meeting were not disclosed to the media. Radio Ghana's Yvonne Atilogo was at the commission.
All hopes had been pinned on the compulsory arbitration to unlock the key to the protracted negotiations between the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission and the Ghana Medical Association. After 1 hour, 15 minutes of closed-door introductory meeting, the compulsory arbitration was pushed to Wednesday. Leading the doctors was the GMA President, Dr. Adam Wimfo. On the side of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission was George Smith Graham. The two were tight-lipped on what transpired. All media tactics to squeeze snippets of information from them failed. The news-hungry journalist had to fall on the public relations officer of the National Labour Commission, Mohamed Afum, who explained that the commission's arbitration panel met parties from both the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission and the Ghana Medical Association. He said ground rules have been laid for the meeting to take place on Wednesday.
The commission's arbitration panel met Fair Wages and GMA. After the ground rules have been set, we have adjourned to reconvene on Wednesday, 12 noon. That's all.
The National Labour Commission directed the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission and the Ghana Medical Association to go into compulsory arbitration following a deadlock in the process of migrating medical doctors onto the single fine salary structure. Under the Labour Law Act 651 of 2003, the compulsory arbitration team will consist of three arbitrators, each representing the government, organized labor, and the employers' association. The arbitration panel is expected to decide how the outstanding issues would be resolved, after which it will issue a written report containing its decision or award, which will be binding on all parties. The decision by the arbitrators can only be challenged in the Court of Appeal within 7 days after the publication of the award. Meanwhile, a number of individuals and groups, including the President, National Peace Council, Council of State, and civil society organizations, continue to call on doctors to rescind their decision, but they have remained adamant. The GMA said it will only call off the strike when there are proper structures in place to make sure that doctors are not shortchanged.
Yvonne Atilogo reporting. The coalition of NGOs in health is considering withdrawing the lawsuit against the Ghana Medical Association. The legal counsel for the coalition, James Odata Mills, told Radio Ghana's Felix Kofi that what the NGO is seeking is to get the doctors back to work, and since the arbitration process has started, he hoped the outcome would be positive.
Once the arbitration has commenced, it will be they started it. I don't know the details, I don't know what has happened, but they expected, they knew that they start today. So I don't see I'm disappointed. The only thing we have a problem with is the fact that they are still on strike while going through these things. Because the law even provides that if for nothing at all, whilst these things are going on, no party should be on strike, apart from the fact that they are prohibited from going on strike in the first place.
Some members of the GMA have also said that because of the lawsuit against them, it will hamper the arbitration process. Your views?
No, I don't see how that's going to hamper the arbitration process. The arbitration process is aimed at settling the dispute between them and the Fair Wages Commission. The lawsuit is aimed at getting them to call off the strike. I don't see how the lawsuit is going to hamper the arbitration process at all. In any case, the lawsuit is even aimed at getting them to do the right thing, which is not to be on strike while the arbitration process is going on.
Will you advise your client to withdraw the lawsuit against the Ghana Medical Association as they have subjected themselves to the arbitration?
It's one school of thought that has come up, and we've also been thinking and deliberating about it. Maybe come tomorrow morning, we should be able to take a decision on that. We've heard it. In fact, prior to their meeting today at the Labour Commission, we even heard that some were claiming that because of the lawsuit, they didn't feel comfortable going ahead with the arbitration while the lawsuit was ongoing. And so since afternoon, we've been talking about it. Maybe by tomorrow we should take a decision on that.
So will you say that you rush in filing the suit?
We wouldn't say that we rush in filing the suit. What were we looking for? We just wanted the right things to be done and legal, lawful procedures to be followed. That's all. So once those things were not being done, we wouldn't say we rush in filing. In any case, what else are we also looking for? We just want the strike to end. We had even expected that yesterday when the CMA council met, they would have called off the strike if they didn't. If they had, of course, it would even have rendered some of the reliefs we are seeking moot. That's in virtually relevant now, but they didn't. So anything that will go towards ensuring that the right thing is done, we don't have a problem there at all. In any case, we are not against doctors. We just want the right thing to be done.
Legal counsel for the Coalition of NGOs in Health, James Odate Mills. The MP for Tema West, Irene Natoshiadu, has launched an endowment fund for the Tema General Hospital with a call on corporate bodies and other institutions to allocate a portion of their earnings in support of the redesigning and redevelopment of the hospital. The fund is expected to give the hospital a facelift as it grapples with a lot of challenges in the wake of the fast-growing population in Tema. Mrs. Adu described recent reports in the media about the hospital as appalling and asked the media to check their facts before filing reports, since the listening and viewing public are very discerning. Edith Atiaka was at the launch and her father's report.
Established some 57 years ago as the only center for healthcare delivery for workers in the Harbour City, the Tema General Hospital has over the years diligently served its purpose, becoming one of the best hospitals in the country. Presently, aside catering for the health needs of workers in the Harbour City, the Tema General Hospital also serves as a referral center for other health posts in the southeastern parts of the Greater Accra region and provides emergency services to both victims of industrial and road traffic accidents, especially on the Accra Tema motorway. However, the hospital for several years now has seen no major rehabilitation coupled with infrastructural challenges. It is in view of this that the Tema General Hospital in recent times has been attracting only negative reportage in the media. Against this backdrop, the MP for the area, Irene Natoshiadu, has been compelled to initiate an endowment fund to redesign the hospital into a modern facility. Mrs. Adu said a general hospital situated in Harbour City must not be left to deteriorate. She therefore appealed to well-meaning Ghanaians to support the fund, adding that no contribution is little. The medical superintendent of the hospital, Dr. Charity Sapon, emphasized that the hospital has seen no major rehabilitation over the years. This notwithstanding, she said the management and staff have been able to keep the facility running to date. She said as a general hospital, its development should move at the same pace with a fast-growing population, adding that it has not been able to cope with the pace due to infrastructural challenges. Dr. Sapo noted that the pressure has compelled management to use part of its internally generated funds to undertake some developmental projects. However, this cannot continue, since the IGF is not meant for such purposes. Dr. Sapon therefore appealed to corporate bodies and philanthropists to adopt facelift projects, including the reconstruction of wards, and departments which will be named after them. She assured the people of Tema that management will continue to go the extra mile to save lives. 20,000 Ghana cedis was realized in the initial appeal.
That was Evie's Atiake's report from Tema. A Deputy Minister for Information, Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa, has stated that former Presidents John Kufuor and Jerry John Rawlings have not rejected the mansions allocated them by the Mills administration at Lesaco Valley. According to him, all those spokespersons for the two former presidents have publicly stated that the offer had been rejected by their bosses. No official communication has been made to the ruling government. He said the keys to the houses offered them have also not been returned. This comes after the spokesperson of former President Kufuor, Frank Ejekum, told an Accra-based radio station that his boss had rejected keys to a mansion at the Tresaco Valley Estates from government. He said the former president rejected the keys to the mansion that was presented to them 4 weeks ago because their input was not adequately taken. A spokesperson to former President Rawlings, Kofi Adams, also told an Accra-based radio station that the former president rejected the temporary home offered him by the government because, in his view, it was incompatible with the NDC founder's moderate lifestyle. He added that the mansion was also rejected because it was not a permanent but temporary accommodation, and since Rawlings was not ready to move into makeshift accommodation, the offer was humbly declined. The MP for CRED, Dan Buche, says he fully backs President Atamilu's proposal to scrap the current arrangement which mandates the state to build houses for presidents of the country after their tenure in office expires. According to him, the president's proposal is in the right direction and deserves the necessary support from all Ghanaians. President Mills has proposed to the Rama Adi Committee to set up to deal with the whole issue of emoluments for Article 71 office holders, adding that the arrangement that enjoins the state to build houses for ex-presidents be scrapped and rather rent allowances be paid to cater for their accommodation beginning from the end of his tenure. His proposal has been met with mixed reactions. While some say the proposal demeans the work of the president and risks turning quality public servants away from serving their country well, others have welcomed it. Speaking on an Accra-based radio station, Mr. Buche said even though President Mills' proposal is late in coming, it is worth considering. He is of the view that putting up houses for a former president who campaigned to be voted for to serve the country might create the impression that they expect some form of reward for their service. He said although former presidents must be adored and protected, this does not suggest that houses be built for them. Mr. Buche called on all Ghanaians to support the president's proposal. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. World Bank suggests more public discourse on $3 billion loan facility from China. Endowment fund for Tema General Hospital launched. Ghanaian universities said to be churning out graduates not fit for the job market. Accra High Court to rule tomorrow whether or not government should reduce petroleum prices. Ennahda claims victory in Tunisia's General Assembly election. 22-year-old man charged for exposing himself as Queen Elizabeth toured Australia, and Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia to be buried today. We'll be back.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
Welcome back. The Vice Chancellor of the University of Ghana has conceded that many of the graduates being churned out in recent times are unfit for the job market. Professor Ernest Aite, who is speaking on an Accra-based private radio station, called on stakeholders to accept that there are challenges with graduates being produced by the universities. He said there are many people leaving universities that are not ready for the world of work. That is a challenge, Professor Aite said, at taking universities too long to acknowledge. The Vice Chancellor was concerned that it had taken too long for stakeholders to accept that universities are producing some people that do not deserve the degrees given to them. He said that some as much as some of the products are not so good, the universities have been churning out equally good graduates who are adequately prepared for the job market. To address the situation, Professor Aite suggested that lecturers be provided with the necessary means to deliver better. Highly qualified students admitted, the library is equipped and a conducive environment provided for students to learn. President Mills, in consultation with the Council of State, has appointed Mrs. Charlotte Osei a chairperson for the National Commission on Civil Education. Mrs. Osei takes over from the late Larry Bimi, who died about 3 months ago. Prior to her appointment, Mrs. Osei, who holds a Master of Law degree and a Master in Business Leadership, is founder and lead counsel of Prime Attorneys, a leading law firm in Accra, a member of the board of directors of the Ghana Commercial Bank Limited and Ghana Reinsurance Company Limited. Her appointment takes immediate effect. An Accra High Court presided over by His Lordship Patrick Bayer will tomorrow give its verdict on whether or not the prices of diesel, petrol, LPG and other petroleum products currently being charged consumers should be reduced. The court will either uphold or abolish the controversial ex-refinery differential imposed on fuel prices in the country since 6 June 2009. After the court's ruling, the National Petroleum Authority will also know whether they can get away with the 661 million Ghana cedis they have so far collected from the imposition of the ex-refinery differential on whether they have to pay it into the consolidated fund. These are the issues being tested by Development Data, a consumer protection and policy research organization. Kweku Kwating, an aspiring NPP parliamentary candidate for Obuasi, and Abdul Ganiu of Tamale. In a writ filed in the Accra High Court in September 2009 against the National Petroleum Authority and the Tema Oil Refinery, the three plaintiffs pray the court to rule on matters that will permanently shape Ghana's petroleum pricing policies. A statement issued by Development Data said on 5th July 2010, judgment in default of appearance was given against the defendants after they failed to enter appearance for the case. A youth group of the NDC in Wa in the Upper West region has appealed to President Jonathan Mills to openly denounce all unguarded statements made against former President Rawlings and his wife by some leading members of the NDC. In a statement, the chairperson of the group, Florence Kwan, said until former President Rawlings is accorded the much-needed respect in the NDC, the group will resort to demonstrations through the principal streets of Wa. The group's call follows a statement made by the party's general secretary, Johnson Esiedu Nketia, during a welcome ceremony for Dr. Obed Asamoah and some members of the DFP. We bring you a news desk report.
The group called on Mr. Nketiah to either render an unqualified apology to the former president for the unity of the party or vacate his post as general secretary. The statement also asked President Mills to immediately dismiss a deputy information minister, Baba Jamal, from office for passing unguarded comments that the issue of President Rawlings' residence was not an important matter for government on the recent brawl about whether or not former President Rawlings was the founder of the NDC. The group said it is an unnecessary exercise which should not have been debated or given prominence in the media, particularly by some members of the NDC. The youth, however, commended Professor Kwame Nahor and others who added their voices on the issue by disassociating themselves from that statement, explaining that per Article 6 of the NDC Constitution, there is no need for any other documentation to prove that President Rawlings is the founder of the NDC. The group appealed to the leadership of the party to reconsider the candidature of Major Bwachi Jan for the Jam and South constituency because he made some statements during the June 4th celebration in Kumasi indicating that he was joining the NDC to fight former President Rawlings. The faction blamed the national executives of the party for the current upheavals in the NDC and questioned whether they sometimes consider the consequences of their actions and inactions pertaining to the survival of the party. The group called on all party members to unite in order to regain power in 2012.
That was the news desk report. The Greater Accra Market Women's Association has strongly criticized former President Rawlings, describing his justification of the public flogging of naked market women during the June 4 uprising as erroneous. The former president of Ghana, in an address to students at the University of Ghana, stated that he tolerated the public flogging of women because some of them threw urine at his soldiers. He added that he ordered the destruction of the Makola market at the time because he needed to redirect the anger of the soldiers away from the market women. Mr. Rawlings added that inasmuch as he was pained by the flogging of the women, he could not have stopped it because the market women were disrespectful towards the men in green uniform, hence they incurred the wrath of the soldiers. Speaking on an Accra-based radio station, the president of the Market Women Association, Mercy Nijan, said she does not believe market women at the time did any of the things claimed by the former president to be treated with such cruelty. She said the punishment was inappropriate since there are other ways of punishment. 300 prospective pilgrims who have paid their fares to travel to Mecca are currently stranded in Tamale in the northern region. All of the pilgrims have paid an amount of 4,910 Ghana cedis for their visa and other expenses to the Holy City. Their visas are yet to be secured by the agent that has been contracted to transport them, Ayana Travel and Tours. A businessman, Mohammed Abdullahi, who had come to see his mother off at the airport, was not happy with developments and told the GNA that the pilgrims were told they would be transported to Accra last Friday to be airlifted to Mecca, but that had not happened. He said visas for the travelers had not been secured yet and expressed disappointment about the travel agent's handling of the issue. He stressed that yesterday was supposed to be the last flight to Mecca, though they were yet to be told when to leave for Accra. Some of the travelers said there is no information about what was going on, except for the last minute when one of the staff of the travel agency told them that their boss was still trying to secure visas for the pilgrims in Accra. Radio Ghana News, stories yet to come. Ennahda claims victory in Tunisia's General Assembly election. 22-year-old man charged with exposing himself as Queen Elizabeth toward Australia and Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia to be buried today. Please don't go away.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
You're welcome back. Tunisia's moderate Islamist party, Ennahda, is claiming victory in the country's first democratic elections. Official results are expected today, but provisional results suggest that Ennahda will win most votes while falling short of a majority. Its main rival, the secular center-left PDP party, has admitted defeat. Ennahda's leaders have pledged to create a multi-party secular democracy and not an Islamic state. Former President Zine al-Abidine Ben Ali was overthrown 9 months ago in mass demonstrations after being in power for 23 years. However, unlike its eastern neighbor Libya, Tunisia's transition from authoritarian rule has been largely peaceful. A 22-year-old Australian man has been charged with exposing himself and being a public nuisance as Britain's Queen Elizabeth toured Australia. The police say the young man allegedly exposed himself to attract the attention of the Queen. He has been charged with willful exposure and public nuisance. Thousands of people turned out to see the visiting monarch as she toured the Queensland capital, her first visit since the state was hit by devastating floods which killed more than 30 people in January. The police say among the crowd was one man who allegedly flashed his buttocks at the Queen. He will appear in court later this month. Saudi Arabia is preparing for the funeral of Crown Prince Sultan today. The kingdom's media continues to mourn the Sultan, who was heir to King Abdullah for 6 years and had served as defense and aviation minister since 1962. He was reported dead in New York last Saturday. Reports say many world leaders are respected for today's funeral. There have been growing concerns inside the kingdom about his successor and the likely appointment of a new defense minister. Veteran Interior Minister Prince Nayef is widely tipped to be named in the coming days as the next in line to rule the world's top oil exporter. And elsewhere in the news, the main point again. The World Bank has called on Ghanaians to engage in more public discussions on the $3 billion loan facility from China. The resident chief economist of the bank, Sebastian Desuse, said such discussions must focus on interrogating the efficient use of the funds in order to ensure the desired national development results. An endowment fund for the Tema General Hospital has been launched. Speaking at the launch, the MP for Tema East, Irene Natoshi, said the fund is expected to be used to give the hospital a facelift as it grapples with a lot of challenges in the wake of the fast-growing population in Tema. The Vice Chancellor of the University of Ghana, Professor Ernest Aite, has admitted that many of the graduates coming out lately are not fit for the job market. He said it is important that stakeholders accept the fact that some graduates do not deserve the degrees given to them. A 22-year-old man has been charged with exposing himself as Queen Elizabeth toured Australia. The police say the young man allegedly exposed himself to attract the attention of the Queen. He has therefore been charged with willful exposure and public nuisance. And the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia will be buried today. The Sultan, who died in New York last Saturday, was heir to King Abdullah for 6 years and had served as Defense and Aviation Minister since 1962. The news was presented by Sally Bosman in Accra.